This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
And the UK is like North Korea, arresting comedians for jokes with armed police. Here to talk about it with us is the author of the book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, Dr. Wilfred Riley. What's up, my man? How are you? How's school going so far?
I'm doing well. School's going great, actually.
Nice. All right, good.
You're on campus right now, actually, picking up some DoorDash.
Well, I don't want to keep you in the way of hot food. If you got to eat while we're talking, go for it.
That's a way to rewind.
That's me.
Okay, cool.
I'm right here. We're working on a couple things at once. But how's life going for you?
Oh, it's great, man. I am. I'm excited about the fact that we're living in a time right now where comedians get arrested for telling jokes in the UK. It's really positive for the future of society.
Yeah, that's actually pretty crazy. I know the guy, Graham Linehan, who got arrested for his series of tweets, and they were all the most mundane, imaginable things. Yeah, I mean, one of them was, I can smell this crowd, pointing at a bunch of protesters around trans rights. I mean, another one was him talking about what to do if you see someone of the opposite sex in your bathroom. He's not really threatening anybody or anything like that. But in Britain, they have a really complex hate speech law, apparently, where if you speak ill of any sort of large protected group, which includes men that believe they are women, which includes any racial minority, so on down the line, you can be charged. So about 3,000 people, I think it's 3,000 people a month, actually, in the UK are charged with these crazy hate speech offenses. So, I mean, we gripe about wokeness in America. It's at a different level back in the mother country.
I mean, that's insane. It really is. It's insane to me that that this is taking place, that this is happening in the UK. It really is. And it's insane to me that they have this law. But at the same time, though, Keir Starmer, the prime minister, and all these other guys stand by this. So when the comedian that you know says the UK is turning into North Korea, and you have the vice president, J.D. Vance, says Europe has a real cultural problem here, a very authoritarian problem, what I worry about is it coming here to the United States, and we're not that far away from it. I mean, Trump wins, and people feel a lot more free to say what they want to say. I mean, South Park is savaging him. I don't know if you watch South Park, but every week now, they're just savaging him. Last night it was that he got the devil pregnant. So, as much as people say he's going after people that criticize him or make jokes, I mean, South Park, the creators got paid $1.5 billion. So, I mean, they're fine.
Yeah.
That's a good amount of FU money. But what happens in places like the UK can very easily spread to the shores of the United States of America.
Yeah, Yeah, I think I'm not sure whether that's going to happen because there's so many cultural differences, but it's definitely something to worry about, and it's not a joke. So in Europe, the situation is really, really bizarre because on the one hand, you have a lot of problems with mass immigration and you have people getting really angry about that. I mean, so we saw the Rotterdam grooming gang, the Pakistani rape gang, bluntly, scandal recently. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, we saw this thing that went wildly viral on Twitter with the girl who's like 14 or 15 in Scotland defending herself from an adult guy with like the kitchen cleaver and the axe. She had like a Native American tomahawk. So you have these crazy issues with violence and so on, which is now approaching American levels. But the second thing is that you can't talk about it. So in Germany recently, candidates for the three biggest parties all agreed, quote unquote, not to criticize migration. So they're only going to say positive things about the ethnic conflict in their countries, which is as nutty as it sounds. And the underlying reason for that is these laws, like more than technically you can be arrested and thrown in jail for saying certain things. So people
That's
just
insane.
Sort of don't. In the USA, I do think, like, trained as a lawyer before what I do now, and I do think that the big barrier there is the First Amendment. So, I mean, the reason most international porn sites are based in the USA is that our speech codes, we extend to pretty much anything. Like, we think that depictions of orgies are free speech. I mean, we think burning the flag is free speech. So I don't really know how hard even a dyed-in-the-wool leftist candidate could go against the speech norms in the USA. But Europe's certainly a bit of a warning there.
Yeah, I would say so. No doubt about it, Dr. Wilfred Riley. Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me is the book. Dr. Wilfred Riley joins me right now. I want to play a clip for you. This is the Democrat candidate for governor of New Jersey, Mikey Sherrill. She was asked a question during the primary about whether or not parents should be able to have their kids opt out of LGBTQ+IA, every letter of the alphabet, education in schools. Guys, I don't have the cut number with me, but I'm sure you have it right there. So I want you to take a listen to this and give me your thoughts on it. Go ahead.
Parents have the right to opt their kids out of LGBTQ-related content in the same way that right now they can be removed from sex ed and health curriculum classes.
Look, I believe that parents have the right to oversee their children's education. I would push in LGBTQ education into our schools. Parents have a right to opt out of a lot of things, but this is not an area where they should be opting out, because this is an area of understanding the background of people throughout our nation. And right now we see, for example, at
All
the
right.
Naval Academy, an erasure of history.
All right. How much of this kind of education is really indoctrination, Dr. Riley?
Well, quite a lot of it. And I actually think this might be the answer to the problem I just put up there. Like, since we have a First Amendment, how can you limit speech in America? The answer might be with kind of this bureaucratic state, right, where we go to the experts to design the school curriculum and everyone has to go to school. So year one, a fifth of your classes are about the historical oppression of black people, and year two they're about gay rights and so on down the line, and that's never going to change. I mean, and you prevent parents from getting out of that curriculum. That's pretty feasible. Obviously, there's a huge element of indoctrination in anything like this. I'll actually ask a question to the talented host here. Did you see this genocide scholars thing, the World Association of Genocide Scholars?
I missed it, and I didn't get my invitation.
Okay.
So,
well, I don't know how the parties they throw are, but so it turned out that there's a recently, like, I read this, and I myself was like, okay, maybe they're crossing the line over there in Israel. Recently, there was a press release that said the International Association of Genocide Scholars declares that there's a genocide going on in Gaza. This is like a number one story back home in my Chicago Tribune song. So people, including me, started looking at this, and it turns out the International Association of Genocide Scholars is just a random organization that anyone with a college degree can join for $50. I joined it myself yesterday, so I can help shape their future policies.
Wow.
But apparently a whole bunch of supporters of Palestine, of the Arab side in the ongoing war, joined the IGS, and there were enough of them that called for a vote on the genocide. None of the serious college professor types participated, but about 24% of the members did. And they very narrowly got a yes vote. And that's where the declaration came from, like the official genocide is going on. And more stuff than we think of is like this. Like some group of academics or some politically partisan organization of people is the entity that's designing your school curricula. I've helped design a couple for the right, for Oklahoma, West Virginia, that kind of thing. And it, depending on where you are, what you're getting in school, that certainly isn't like straight down the pipe, you know, Reagan was a great president kind of stuff. It really depends on who wrote it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, we've talked about this before, right? I mean, it's always through the filter of who teaches the history.
Yeah, I think that's a better one-sentence summary. Yeah, I mean, it's not just that the winners write the history books. It's that the historians write the history books.
Yeah.
So if for some weird reason you're in a country, hypothetically, where most smart conservatives go into business and most smart liberals go into academia, everyone that's putting together your history curriculum, your black studies curriculum, so on down the line, is going to be like the International Association of Genocide Scholars.
Right.
And that's what we've been seeing for quite a while in America. Like, last thing on this, but Ron DeSantis has taken a whole bunch of hits for, quote unquote, erasing history. And he's not erasing history at all. He's just teaching basic additional things like black people had slaves, too. But we've been so used to this. We've been so used to businessmen and cops being kind of conservative and academics and reporters being really liberal that seems like the norm. It seems a little weird when you see someone say something that's fair and balanced. And that has to change, but it's going to take a while to change it.
And this is why, to the point, to kind of go back to this whole idea, remember when Ron DeSantis had the bill that never said don't say gay, but they all turned around and said it was the don't say gay bill, which, of course, was a total lie. This is the point of how you get censorship. You make everybody walk on eggshells and to be afraid to say something offensive. And you can create a culture of censorship, I think. I mean, this brings us to Malcolm Gladwell. And I'm sure you know what Malcolm Gladwell said.
Oh, yeah.
But just in case, and to refresh everybody's memory of this, I want to play a clip of Malcolm Gladwell. And I want to see if you agree with Douglas Murray that he's basically a giant coward for admitting this right now. Take a listen.
If we did a replay of that exact panel at the Sloan Conference this coming March, it runs in exactly the opposite direction. And it would be, I suspect, near unanimity in the room that trans athletes have no place in the female category. I don't think there's any question. I just think it was a strange, the reason I'm ashamed of my performance at that panel because I share your position 100% and I was cowed. The idea of saying anything on this issue, I was in a, I believe in retrospect, in a dishonest way, I was objective in a dishonest way.
Objective in a dishonest way. And of course, he's referring to Leah Thomas, a biological male named Will, and saying that Will Thomas deserved to basically get the medal and swim as a woman.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the trans thing in particular. So first of all, I don't have a lot of respect for Gladwell, who's a grown man who's worth $20 million. I mean, all of these small women, J.K. Rowling and so on, are out there on the front lines getting tomato soup cans thrown at them alongside their husbands and the Matt Walsh type guys. And this guy is at a panel and he's asked, do you think a 6'4 man should swim with the women? And he says yes. And he doesn't just say yes and let it pass like everyone has cowardly moments. He like defends it. It's a fairly well-known witty passage. So you can just not do that. You, I, many, many other people just, oh, this is crazy. But yeah, the trans thing is an example of, I mean, the term is cancel culture, right? It's censorship culture. It's what happens when no one's willing to say the emperor is naked. And that story exists for a reason. I mean, it's a story about a powerful king who had some delusions about himself and no one wanted to, you know, challenge him and explain what was happening and risk injury or death. So it took a small boy to do it. And it kind of the same thing with this. I mean, it took college athletes like Riley Gaines, who were 18 or 19, coming forward and saying, no, he has a penis. And in fact, even for them, initially, it was she has a penis. You know, this is not fair. This is not real. So, yeah, that's the extreme effect of being told what you're supposed to say. And the thing about the trans thing that was so crazy is that nobody actually believed it. I sincerely believe that. I don't think that a single married man in the world believed that it's impossible to tell the difference between men and women, or that 2% of people are quote unquote intersex or anything similar to that. No one believed it.
And I think that this idea that you have somebody who's willing to smash through society and say, I don't care what is said at polite society. Because, I mean, you listen to Gladwell and you think to yourself, what he's saying is polite society, you know, and this is the problem, is that there's this notion of what is acceptable to say and not say, dictated on down from polite society to the rest of us. And if you go outside these lines, you rednecks and the rest of you, well, you know, you're going to be, and then all of a sudden there's this backlash to that because people are tired of being called names and they're tired of being insulted for just speaking the truth. That's really what it comes down to, right? I mean, we're just speaking the truth. This is a dude. It's just that simple.
Yeah, I think the trans thing really broke a lot of people, really turned a lot of people into Trump Republicans because it was so obvious. Like, I was a track man in high school, among some other things, and I watched track and swimming occasionally, and like I watched the women's natty, and it was all these little girls. I mean, like college freshman female swimmers, 5'4", and then there's a guy on the podium who's 6'3". Yeah, I mean, yes, I think that pushed a lot of people over the line. I mean, that made a lot of businesswoman friends of mine that, you know, had gay best friends in high school and don't want to hear that mean boy talk, but it made them say, like, okay, this is crazy. But this really is kind of a golden mean situation, because to some extent, in a civilized society, you do need an expert elite, and you probably do need some regulations on speech. You don't need people discussing religion by telling each other respectively, there is no God, you fool, and you're going to hell, heathen. You know, you don't want a relationship default to be, I'm just dating you for sex. You don't want people to say a lot of things that are possibly on your mind at a given time. I think that you cross the line when it comes to politeness when it becomes necessary to say false facts. That's a famous old line from John Stuart Mill. But when it becomes necessary to say not just God probably exists, but I believe line by line in the Bhagavad Gita. And we got pretty close to that with woke stuff, right? Like, there's a near genocide of black men. There is a genocide in Gaza. Sex is this fluid, questionable thing. And I think people just got tired of that and kicked it back. But it'll return.
When you say a regulation of speech, you don't mean a government-imposed regulation.
No.
Right.
Yeah, good clarification. No, I mean, I think that the whole idea of politeness is something that to some extent probably stops us from seeing some of the truth. Every time I've seen someone on a psychedelic drug trip, and there's a point to this, but I mean, one of the things that's notable about them is that they're incredibly honest. Like, I am not where I want to be in life. Does any of this matter? Why am I wearing this stupid piece of fabric around my neck? And for society to function, There usually is a social norm against that kind of thing. Like, white and black adult men don't detail the other group's faults at great length, usually. You know, so that's basically good. But when that creeps into science, when that creeps into journalism, like, there's a huge place for academic articles or even just blunt conversations sometimes where you do say, okay, these are the problems you guys have. We need to fix them. These are the problems the country has. And a big part of the whole woke thing is that you're not supposed to do that. There's a problem in the black community, racism. Women seem to be going crazy, sexism. Like, there's this set religious catechism, and it had the same effect as really fundamental religion for 4 or 5 years. And then, like I said, people just got sick of it.
Yeah, and it's I'll quote George Costanza and say, we're living in a society here, all right? I mean, it's kind of like that, all right? We're living in a society, people, and if you don't like it, or as Kramer said, you know, why don't you just move to the east side? But that's really kind of what it comes down to and with all that. All right, my friend, I will let you go enjoy your Uber Eats and their DoorDash, and thank you for – I hope it didn't get cold by now. So –
No, it's just sitting on a table. It'll be fine. We got microwaves.
All right. I don't know if that's good for you, though, microwaves. Right. I use them, but I don't care. They're, just stay away from the microplastics, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing to worry about. They've been found in all men now. All men, Rich.
I don't know. We're at it. How are we going to make it, Doc? We're done. So get his book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, before it's too late, because we have no more time left. Dr. Wilfred Riley, have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, listen, Dr. Mike Venere, a great guy, great friend, the master of dental implants. So what makes him so good? What separates him from the rest? Well, for over 12 consecutive years, Dr. Mike has been ranked by his peers as a master of dental implants, a master of complex dental surgery. So let's say you need dental surgery. You know, the full gamut, implants or crowns or, you know, something really complicated. Question I have for you is, you're going to go to the closest dentist? Are you going to go to these chain pop-up dental offices? Or are you going to find the best, my guy, Dr. Mike Venere? Are you going to go to the best? Because it's about care. It's about compassion. That's what separates Mike Venere. And the reason why so many dentists send their patients to Dr. Mike and the experts call him the expert is because he is the absolute best of the best. He's got an office in Sinniminson and an office in Woodbury. Both are right over the bridge, and they're both easy to get to from wherever you are. So here's what I would say. Stop putting it off. Make an appointment to see the dentist today and make that dentist Dr. Mike Venere. My whole family goes to him. Mama Zioli discovered him. And Patrick, Claire, Reagan, and Bridget. In fact, Bridget just got a brand new smile from Dr. Mike. She always had a beautiful smile. Let me just be very clear here. But she needed her veneers replaced, and he gave her beautiful caps, and her smiles never looked better. So do that today by going to VeneriaDental.com. You'll love the team. You'll love the people in the office, great music playing, and he's a great conversationalist too. But at the very heart of it is the level of care and commitment to dental excellence that separates him, which is why I say he has no peers. He stands alone as the undisputed master of dental implants and complex dental procedures, Dr. Mike Venere, VenereaDental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Although we're doing, if on the YouTube chat, it just looks like I'm punching the air. We're playing YMCA. I'm realizing on YouTube you can't hear it. So now it just looks like I'm boxing, shadow boxing. Yes! Glad to be here with you. President is speaking from the Oval Office, and we paused it so you can hear the signing, and he's also taking questions as well. So we're going to jump in to the president at the Oval Office as we continue here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, and let's jump in.
Thank you very much.
Buyer's Privacy Protection Act.
The congressman here was the lead sponsor, so I think maybe he say more about it than
John,
I can.
Please. Well, it's difficult for Americans to buy a home, particularly after the last 4 years, sir. But with the president's signature today, we're going to make it easy for people to buy a home without getting hassled. For years, their private personal information has been bought and sold in the open market, resulting in them getting innumerable phone calls and text messages. But with your signature today, we're going to put an end to that so that when Americans try to realize the American dream of owning a home, they're able to do so without being harassed.
Good job. Good. It's a great honor, John. Okay. There it is. And that's going to help a lot of the homeowners of our great country. John, want to hold that?
Sure.
Thank you, John, very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay, Will, you go ahead.
And I'd like to leave you with this gift from a constituent back in Tennessee.
Oh, I could use that at night.
It's an American flag.
That's very nice. I like that.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much. That's very nice.
Next, we have a number of executive orders for your attention, sir.
Okay.
From 1789 until 1947, our nation won some of its greatest military victories under the direction of a Secretary of War operating within a Department of War. Today, with this executive order, you will authorize the current Secretary of Defense and the current Department of Defense to once again embrace this great lineage and once again be named the Secretary of War and the Department of War.
So this is something we thought long and hard about. We've been talking about it for months, Pete and I and Dan. Dan came into the fall, by the way, a great general. He headed up the I wouldn't call it an attack. I'd almost call it.
I think we lost the audio feed. Is it still there?
Pulling it back up right now.
Okay. And by the way, there's some breaking news that Eric Adams, the current mayor of New York City, who's running as an independent, is making an announcement shortly. Rumor is that he went to Florida. May have met with Trump and may be dropping out of the race. So I don't know. Obviously, the front page of the New York Post today is all about how the president wants him and Curtis Sliwa to both drop out of the race for mayor of New York City. And he wants it to be a mano race between. I mean, it's not that he likes Cuomo. He doesn't. But he thinks that the LoveGov / nursing home killer, Andrew Cuomo, has the best chance of beating Zoran Mandami, the commie. So the front page of the New York Post today is Trump to city dropout, tells GOP donor, meaning John Katsimides, have planned to stop Mandami by Wednesday or I'm stepping in. So that's that. And do we have it back?
Yeah, we're going to go to the Fox feed for a second because C-SPAN killed theirs for some reason.
Oh, probably because it's over.
They're so full they can't barely handle the throughput. It is truly historic across all the services, as you said. It's been a surge into the, I was going to say the Defense Department, but I will say the War Department. And that it you might almost call it a vibe shift, an attitude shift, a feeling that the country is back, that service is back. And there were military families last year, Mr. President, that said, I don't know if I can recommend, I mean, I wrote a book on this. I don't know if I can recommend service to my son or daughter, given what's been done to our military. You heard it over and over and over again. And I hear from those same military families right now, sir, and they're saying, I recommend to my kids that they go into this department, this Pentagon, under this commander in chief, who they know you'll have their back and they want to serve. So it is historic, and it's the biggest reflection of how motivated Americans are by your leadership, sir.
You know, really, it's nothing more than spirit, love for the country, I guess the esprit de corps, as they say. You have more of that than we've had maybe ever, frankly. But to see it turn over a period of less than a year, I would say. But to see a turn, nobody wanted to go into the military. Now everybody wants to go into the military. Jennifer, you want to?
Yeah, there's some new reporting on North Korea and this Navy SEAL incident in 2019. Can you say if the administration has engaged with North Korea on that incident since it happened?
Okay, we're going to go back to the start of the questions by the president who... just a little technical issue here, so let's just fade that out. We're going to go back to the start of the questioning with the president after he signed the executive order changing the name of the Department of Defense to the Department of War, and the Secretary of Defense, or now Secretary, well, soon to be Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, assuming Congress goes along with this, and then it's questions by the press. So let's pick it up there.
But it turned out to be a little bit more difficult than I thought. And it'll get done or they'll be held to pay. But because they're losing 6 to 7, it used to be 5. I used to tell you 5. Now it's almost 7. I guess 7,000 people last week. 7,813 people, young soldiers died. Russian and Ukrainian, not American soldiers. But it's a shame. It's just, you know, they're human lives and I want to see it stop. But General Kane's done a fantastic job. And again, defeated ISIS, which they said would take a long time. And it didn't take a long time at all. And did other things that people said really couldn't happen. We have the greatest equipment in the world. We have the greatest soldiers in the world. Dan, say a few words, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. President. It's a true honor for me today to represent the incredible men and women of America's joint force. Today and every day, the 2.8 million service men and women stand ready to fulfill our sacred duty to protect America at home and abroad. As the president said, America's military is the single most powerful fighting force in the world. The mission you and the secretary have given us is clear and unambiguous: to deliver peace through overwhelming strength. And I remind everyone that the U.S. military can reach any adversary at the time and place of our choosing. Service to this nation is an incredible gift, and we're grateful and honored every day to do so. Thank you, Mr. President.
Well, thank you, and it's an honor to sign this. And we will do that right now. I think that's a big one, I'll be honest. I think that's a big one.
It's a big one, Mr. President.
Do you have any questions on this subject? We're going to be discussing the G20 in a couple of minutes, but yes, please.
This rebranding question for you and the newly minted Secretary of War. What message does this send to our enemies, to our allies, to the American people? And again, what gave you the idea for this rebrand at this moment?
I think it sends a message of victory. I think it sends a message of strength. We're very strong. We're much stronger than anyone would really understand. And again, you know, having the great equipment, we have just so much better. You look at all of the, just any of it, submarines as an example. We're 20 years ahead of anyone else. Nobody even compares. And I let a lot of this happen in my first term. You know, we totally rebuilt our military. And then, of course, you had that catastrophe in Afghanistan, where they gave up a lot of the equipment, but a relatively small amount, but a lot. It was a lot in Afghanistan. I think it was the most, General, I'd say it was the most embarrassing day in the history of our country, the way that happened, the way they went to the wrong airport. They should have gone to Bagram, not the local little airport with no security, with tight quarters, etc. You know what happened. I think it was the most embarrassing moment in the history of our country, frankly. That was under the Biden administration. That was terrible. And we were going to be leaving, but we were leaving with strength and dignity. We were going to keep Bagram because Bagram's 1 hour away from where China makes its nuclear weapons. We're going to have that all to ourselves, a big, beautiful place built many years ago for money that today would be the equivalent of, you know, many, many billions of dollars. You couldn't build it. The longest runways, the most powerful runways in terms of load capacity. And we just walked away from it. So stupid. And they were fools. The people were fools. No, we're We have the strongest military, and I think that indicates we have the strongest military. And you know, we had it, and we won World War I, we won World War II, we won everything before, and as I said, we won everything in between. And we were very strong, but we never fought to win. We just didn't fight to win. We didn't lose anything, but we didn't fight to win. We could have won every one of those wars quickly, but they went a route that I think was probably politically correct, but not correct for our nation. So I think the Department of War sends a signal. Yeah, please.
Mr. Eck, you alluded to this a little while ago. You said that this reading is a good reflection of where the world is at right now. How do you square naming it the Department of War when you've been pursuing peace so many different parts of the world?
Well, I think I've gotten peace because of the fact that we're strong. If we weren't strong, those seven deals I told you about, the seven wars, a majority of them wouldn't have happened. They happened for two reasons, trade and our strength. Those are the two reasons. And probably strength may be more important than trade. So if we, I was very proud of all those wars. Those were wars that could not be settled, and I settled all of them. And we'll get the other one settled also. That'll get settled. But without the strength, we wouldn't have settled any of them. Yeah, please.
Mr. President, is it your expectation that Congress will codify this name change in the law?
I don't know, but we're going to find out. But I'm not sure they have to. We're signing an executive order today. But we're going to find out. We're going to see. If they do, we're going with it. And we're going with it very strongly. There's a question as to whether or not they have to. But we'll put it before Congress.
Do you know how much this rebrand will actually cost? And are there any concerns about, you know, the Pentagon's mission of actually cutting back on spending?
Yeah, but not a lot. You know, we know how to rebrand without having to go crazy. We don't have to recarve a mountain or anything. We're going to be doing it not in the most expensive. We're going to start changing the stationery as it comes due and lots of things like that. We're not going to be doing things like have been done in the past when they changed the name of forts that shouldn't have been changed. Those names of the forts should not have been changed, at least for the most part. And as you know, many of them have been changed back already. At the request of the communities, every one of those communities said, we want our name back, like Fort Bragg as an example. The people in that community wanted that name back. They refused to call it anything else but Fort Bragg. So we're not going to be spending very much money on that. Yes,
sir. When you spoke with the Europeans and Zelensky earlier this week, did you preview this for them? And did you say what security guarantees they might be involved in?
This is nothing to do with anybody but the United States of America, the people of America. This is who I talked to about changing a name. This is a very important change because it's an attitude. And we know how to win. We've been winning, and we're going to win like you've never seen. Wait till these factories start to open up that are being built all over the country. You're going to see things happen in this country that nobody expects. We have over $17 trillion in investment coming into the country. We never did anything even remotely close to that. We've never, no other country has either, by the way. So you're going to see things that are pretty amazing. But it's really about winning.
And what about the security guarantees aspect of that with Ukraine, sir?
Well, we'll work that out. We'll help them. Look, we want to save a lot of lives, so we'll do something with that. I think people expect that. We'll help them. Europe will be first in by far. And they want to be first in. They want to see it end. Europe wants to see it end. And it'll end. It'll end all of a sudden. It's going to come together. You watch. Did you want something?
Right here.
Yeah, behind you, please. Yes.
Yes, sir.
You have any bold, decisive, offensive action to protect American values. The strikes in Iran, the strikes this past Tuesday, and the positively ID'd Trent Aragua narco-terrorists. Is that going to be a critical function of the Department of War?
It depends on the individual instance, you know. We don't want drugs coming in from Venezuela or anybody else or any place else, and we'll be tough on that. And we don't want human trafficking. We don't want to see people coming in where they open their prisons from all over the world and they dump their prisoners into our country, which is what they did in the Biden administration, where they took insane asylums and places of that held people that were seriously mentally ill, mentally incompetent, mentally dangerous, and they dumped those people into our country, and we're trying to get them out now. What they've done, what the Democrats and Biden have done to this country, will go down in infamy. what they have done to our country, and especially that, you know, they created the worst inflation we've ever had. That's nothing compared to what they did with the people in our country right now. And we're getting them out, and it's not easy when you have the liberal judges destroying our country. But we've won them all. We've won it all. Ultimately won it all. Hard process. It should be easier. We know who it is. We know exactly who we're looking for. We had 11,000 murderers dropped into our country. We've gotten a lot of them out. Or in some cases, they're so dangerous, we were afraid to get them out because they'd come back in. But for the last 120 days, zero people came in. Can you imagine? This is me speaking, but these are figures developed by, they say, a pretty liberal group of people. They admit that zero people came into our country. Think of that. A year ago, it was millions of people were coming in. Millions. They were coming in. You could look at them and you could say, big trouble. And that's what we have in our country. But we're getting them out, and despite that, we're doing really well. Yeah,
Mr.
please.
Brian? Can you comment on the recruitment levels across the military branches?
Well, the recruitment's the most exciting thing. So when I was campaigning for the office, numbers were coming out that the recruitment numbers, generally, you can speak to it better than anybody, the recruitment into the military, all branches of the military, and police and firemen and everything else. Anything having to do with, like, a public service, the numbers were horrible, record-setting bad, and now they're record-setting good. We're setting every record every month for recruitment. We're packed in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard. My beautiful I love Space Command. I love Space. I see Space Command, but Space Force has been. We've got a waiting list of people wanting to go in. A year ago, especially a year and a half ago, you know, when I took the lead in the polls, which was very early, it really helped with the recruiting. And when I won from November 5th on, it's been amazing. And over the last 4 or 5 months, it's been, we're just packed. It was very hard to get police officers. Now the departments are loaded up. Everyone wants to be a policeman or a woman. So it's been a great thing. General, do you want to talk about that?
Sure. As you said, serving our nation is an incredible gift that we give, and the reward on that gift pays back exponentially year over year. And I think the young people of America are seeing the importance of service, and whether it's in any of our armed services or in local police, fire, or rescue, service is an important thing that I personally encourage, and I know everyone else in government service sees that same reward.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
He's, I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Pete, on recruitment?
Yes, I was down at Fort Benning, the newly properly renamed Fort Benning, yesterday, watching Army basic training. And they're so full they can't barely handle the throughput. It is truly historic across all the services, as you said. It's been a surge into the, I was going to say the Defense Department, but I will say the War Department. And that you might almost call it a vibe shift. An attitude shift, a feeling that the country is back, that service is back. And there were military families last year, Mr. President, that said, I don't know if I can recommend, I wrote a book on this. I don't know if I can recommend service to my son or daughter, given what's been done to our military. You heard it over and over and over again. And I hear from those same military families right now, sir, and they're saying, I recommend to my kids that they go into this department, this Pentagon, under this commander-in-chief, who they know you'll have their back. And they want to serve. So it is historic, and it's the biggest reflection of how motivated Americans are by your leadership, sir.
You know, really, it's nothing more than spirit. Love for the country. I guess the esprit de corps, as they say. You have more of that than we've had maybe ever, frankly. But to see a turn over a period of less than a year, I would say, but to see a turn, nobody wanted to go into the military. Now everybody wants to go into the military. Jennifer, you want to?
Yeah, there's some new reporting on North Korea and this Navy SEAL incident in 2019. Can you say if the administration has engaged with North Korea on that incident since it happened recently?
Yeah.
And then can you share some records?
I don't know anything about it, no.
Can you confirm that it happened?
I don't know anything about it. I'm hearing it now for the first time.
Okay, great. And then on the Hyundai incident in Georgia with the arrests of some workers, construction workers at the plant, have you heard any feedback from Hyundai?
I just heard about that a little while before the news conference, and I would say that they were illegal aliens, and ICE was just doing its job. But I know nothing about the instance that happened a little while ago. Okay.
There has been some pushback on that, though, from South Korea already. And, of course, you know, they pledged to invest $150 billion in the U.S. when they were just here, you know, last week. Are you concerned?
Well, and they have the right to sell cars and things in our country. You know, it's not like a one-sided deal.
Are you concerned at all about, you know, your immigration agenda potentially clashing with these economic goals?
Well, we want to get along with other countries, and we want to have a great, stable workforce. And we had, as I understand it, a lot of illegal aliens, some not the best of people, but we had a lot of illegal aliens working there. So, you know, look, they're doing their job. That's what they have to do. These are people that came through with Biden. They came through illegally. They came into our country. So we have to do our job.
But now the Department of War has been involved in the crime cleanup in D.C. You've tasked Congress with proposing and passing a crime bill. What are some things that you would really like to see codified in that crime bill?
Well, I think one of the things is the cashless bail. It's killing it. When that came out, originally when that came out the first time, that's when you saw the real big crime start to happen. Cashless bail, what a disaster that is. You murder somebody, you don't have to put up bail, and you go out in the street and you murder somebody else. That's what's happened. It happens so often. And that's one of the things. And other of the things you're reading about, you know, it's a standard, but just a certain toughness. I have to say, one of the elements of fascination for people over the last period of time has been what's happened to D.C. So we've gone from one of the most dangerous cities in our country to what they call a safe city. It's a totally safe city. In fact, I set up dinner in Washington, D.C. next week. I wouldn't have done that, to be honest. I would have had an obligation not to do it before I came into office, or even at the very beginning when things were so corrupt and so dangerous out on the streets. So Washington, D.C. has had virtually no crime. We even have a mayor that's admitting to it, and she's a, you know, liberal Democrat, in all fairness. She's a person that hasn't gotten exactly along with Republicans over the years. And she said she's never seen anything like it. So Washington, D.C. is a totally safe city. We have virtually no crime. It's gone from the most unsafe city in the United States, almost, just about, to one of the safest cities, maybe the safest city in the United States. That's a tremendous compliment to our military, what we did. The National Guard's done a fantastic job. Yeah, please.
Mr. President, can I ask about the border real quick? Florida House Speaker Daniel Perez was at the White House yesterday as part of a leadership summit.
Yes.
We understand you met with him separately. Mr. President, what did you talk about? And also, did you explore him running for Florida Attorney General?
I didn't. We didn't talk about that, but he's done a fantastic job. He's respected all over the country, really. He's a leader, and he's done just a fantastic job. We didn't discuss anything having to do with his future. I'm sure he'd be very good at that.
My second question, Alligator Alcatraz, sticking with Florida, a major ruling appeals court blocked a federal judge's order to close it, and it remain open for now. Your reaction?
I think they've done a fantastic job in building it, the governor and everybody else that's been involved. It's an incredible facility. It's housing people for usually a very short period of time before they get brought back to their countries. As you know, we focus on criminals before we focus on anybody else, and we're taking thousands and thousands of criminals out every month out of our country, some of them murderers. And I think Florida's done a great job by building it, and whether it's Alligator, Alcatraz, or anything else you want to call it, I was there. I visited with the governor, with other people. I guess Nikki was there. Tom Homan's been there a lot. A lot of people have been there from. It's an amazing facility for what it is. It's not a hotel. It's not supposed to be a hotel, but they've done a great job with it. I'm very happy with the judge's decision.
You also mentioned Venezuela. I want to ask one more follow-up question on that. I'm a U.S. tribe that tied to a Venezuelan drug cartel. The Maduro regime is pushing back today. In fact, they say the U.S. sees regime change through military threat. Your reaction to those words, and also, would you like to see regime change in Venezuela?
Well, we're not talking about that, but we are talking about the fact that you had an election which was a very strange election, and to put it mildly, I'm being very nice when I say that. I can only say that billions of dollars of drugs are pouring into our country from Venezuela. The prisons of Venezuela have been opened up to our country. They've taken their prisoners, the worst prisoners, murderers, Tren de Aragua. The worst prisoners that you can ever imagine are now happily living in the United States of America. Now, many of them we've gotten out. It's not easy to get them out because of the liberal system that we're working with in many cases, not in all cases. But millions and millions of dollars and billions of dollars of drugs are pouring out of Venezuela and other countries. Look, China, what they're doing with fentanyl is a terrible thing. It comes through Canada and it comes through Mexico, but a lot of it's coming through Venezuela. Venezuela has been a very bad actor, and we understand that. And when you look at that boat, you look at you see the bags of whatever it is there. Those bags were, you know what those bags represent? Hundreds of thousands of dead people in the United States. That's what they represent. Yeah, please.
Mr. President, your reaction to the jobs report this morning?
Well, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. We have our great people here, so I'll talk that in a minute. Let's talk about this. We'll give a couple of the, because these two people want to get to work on the Department of War. So let's keep them first.
Mr. President, the DOJ is reportedly considering a ban on transgender people owning guns after the Minneapolis shooting. Do you think?
Are we talking in the military?
In general.
Okay, I thought you were talking about in the military. I'll refer to that then differently, because it's not a military question. I'll be able to pass on that very nicely, unless you'd like to talk about it. Now, Pete doesn't want any part of that question. Yes, please.
Mr. President, who do you blame for losing India to China? In your post earlier today in the morning, you did put that out.
I don't think we have. I've been very disappointed that India would be buying so much oil, as you know, from Russia. And I let them know that. We put a very big tariff on India, 50% tariff, very high tariff. I get along very well with Modi, as you know. He's great. He was here a couple of months ago. In fact, we went to the Rose Garden, and the grass was so soaking wet. It was so such a terrible place to have a news conference. I said, well, let's use a beautiful white stone emblematic of the White House, okay? And it's been very well received. But we had a news conference on the grass. It was my last news conference I had on the grass, because everybody sunk in. You probably sunk in. Every reporter out there, they ruined their shoes. We made that change. It's been a really well-received change. Yeah, please, go ahead.
I'm Venezuelan. You've sent F-35s down to Puerto Rico. You've sent naval vessels into the Caribbean. You're concerned about drugs being illegally sent into the How do you describe this buildup, this situation?
Well, I just think it's strong. We're strong on drugs. We don't want drugs killing our people. I believe we lost 300,000. You know, they always say 95, 100,000. I believe they've been saying that for 20 years. I believe we lost 300,000 people last year. I know families that lost their son. Those families will never be the same. I know a family lost a daughter, a beautiful daughter. In fact, it was like she took something that she thought was like a minor deal, and it turned out to be riddled out with fentanyl. The size of the head of a pin, and you're dead. And no, we're stopping the drugs. We're going to save a lot of people. Look, whether it's 100,000, but it's not. It's 350,000 people died last year from drugs. And we're not going to let that happen to this country. Think of that. Think if you're in a war and you lose 300,000. We'll lose 600,000 in the pretty much between Gettysburg and all of that, the Civil War. We lost, 600,000. So we're losing half of that every year to drugs. We're not going to do it. We're not going to allow it to happen. You think of the wars. If we lost 600,000 people in a war, but we lose that every 2 years, more than that. So it's 300,000 to 350,000 people. And when I see boats coming in, like loaded up the other day with all sorts of drugs, probably fentanyl mostly, but all sorts of drugs, and we're going to take them out. And if people want to have fun going on the high seas or the low seas, they're going to be in trouble. I will tell you, boat traffic is substantially down in the area that happened.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.